name is Sandra, and I'm an addict. And the 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening, we tried to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I started doing service work, which to me is what this step is talking about. How can I be of service to you? I started doing service work early. When I came out of treatment, I was told that I needed to come back to the treatment program that I was in and share with the women and take them out to meetings. And because I got here the way that I did, it wasn't so much that I believed that I was an addict when I got here. It was probably just in case. I do know that I had planned at some point in time to let you all know that I was not the person that you were. So it was a lot of things that I was going to do just because you said do it, so I could come back and tell you that it wouldn't work. I came into treatment, and I need to say this. I surrendered May 11th, 1984. I surrendered in the D.C. Superior Court elevator. My vagina was stuffed full of works, full of D's, full of BAMs. And my only way out of the whole situation was that if I would go over to D.C. jail, I knew that I'd be all right when I came out for a while. And maybe something different would happen. Because all of the previous times of going over to D.C. jail, I did not come straight out and start using again. It happened with getting lonely. It happened with, I'm going to fix that man. It happened because children didn't love me enough. See, I'm one of these people that was just as jealous of my child having a boyfriend at 15 years old as I would have been of my man having somebody else. Relationships weren't any different. I couldn't feel enough love. You could not love me enough. It was always about you needed to prove to me that you loved me. And I couldn't feel it. You couldn't do enough because you didn't start your day out with trying to make me happy. So I came here with a lot of people problem. I came here very suicidal. I came here contemplating homicide because I came here with a handicapped child that required too much of me. And I was one of them people at the end that had a chair behind my door because I knew you got up with the sole purpose of messing my life up. And I don't know, I surrendered. I couldn't do it anymore. And when I got over to jail, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't spend another day sitting on a cold toilet, lined with sanitary napkins. Couldn't stand another day of hooping and hollering across the tears. Couldn't take another shower with the brown stuff on the sides of the shower. Couldn't squat another day. Couldn't have no more crab stuff sprayed on me. I couldn't do it anymore. I looked up and saw where my life was and couldn't see how my life had gotten to be like that. It was no reason for it. I'd had judges to tell me you didn't have the excuses that other people had. You can't say you were undereducated. You can't say that you didn't have the family support. I couldn't do it anymore. So I came to a program that introduced me to this fellowship and introduced me to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And y'all, they kept me in treatment forever. And somebody told me that if I got involved and if I learned how to practice the first three steps, that I could possibly get out of treatment. And I was willing to do that. I was willing to ask, how do you work these steps? At 2 years of being clean, y'all, I'm this person that came into this fellowship, and it was this guy with 8 years at the time, and he talked about the steps. And the good part about this is that he introduced me to step meetings, and he introduced me to Narcotics Anonymous, and he introduced me to this program. And y'all, the only way that I knew how to deal with that whole thing was that you sleep with people. I didn't know how to have relationships with people. It didn't take long for that to end. All it took was for me to give him $500 to go to school, and for him to be sitting in a meeting with me one day talking about he was angry, and the program says that you're supposed to talk about it, and he had $500 of my money he was supposed to be going to school with. Didn't take long for me to understand that I ain't want his program. So I kept trying to apply these principles. And I don't know at what point in time that it happened. All I know is that I came here and could look around the room and decide which one of you didn't like me. All I needed to do was come in here and see a frown on your face, and I could leave up out of here resenting your ass. I don't know at what point in time that it happened, but it happened for me that one day I wasn't taking everybody's inventory, and I didn't have to listen to the speaker and decide whether they was working a program or not. At some point in time that I could be open to anybody saying and telling me what to do or how I could do it and not be pissed with them because they didn't think I knew as much as they did. I don't know. That's what this program has done for me. I do service. I have been in service ever since I've been here, and I've been in service with women ever since I've been here. And y'all, I've gone through some things with the whole sponsorship thing, you know. I've had people to ask me to be their sponsors, and then they fire me, and I've had them to come back and ask me would I be their sponsor, and then they would fire me again. And at some point in time, you all became a blessing to my life. That the just being able to be a part of somebody else's life began to be more important to me than whether I was your sponsor. Because I ain't come here with no friends. I'm the person who had parties that nobody attended. And today when I say that I'm having a birthday party, I'm having a Halloween party, I got some dynamite ladies that's helping me fix the food, that's going to be there whether they want to be there or not, because this is what this program is all about. I did not know before I got here that I would find what I'd always searched for, which is somebody to love me. Because what this program taught me first was it taught me that love needed to start with me. This program allows me to accept me with all my imperfections. You gave me my life back. My life used to be that I was bound by what you thought of me. That you controlled my every mood. And that was because I couldn't accept who I was. Today I understand that I'm not the best person in the world, but I know I'm not the worst. Today I understand that my life is not perfect, that it's drama in it sometimes, that I fall short. But the one thing that God has given me with being here is the ability to get up and keep striving and try again. I don't have to wonder if I have a message for you today, because I know God gave me the ability to give people hope. And is that not what it's all about? I read in a book, it's called Acts of Faith, and it said something about that one day my life might be the only Bible that you get a chance to read. And I understand today that my life might be the only NA book in the 12 steps that you get a chance to read. So I need to live it every day. I need to live it every day as an example of what this program is all about. This program is about shattered lives being repaired. I have a child who my mother raised. That's not a part of this fellowship, but sitting here in this meeting with me today. And she do that because this program gave me the opportunity to practice this same love with my family. And I don't mean to kill them, because I've had to make some decisions about my life that I really thought that the rest of my family would not agree with. I found out today that I carry the message. I can't carry the addict. Since I've been here, I've had people to tell me that when I'm ready, I'll call you. And that's okay. I said years, and she's smiling back there. Y'all know who it was that told me that. She said, when I'm ready, I'll call you. I know what to do when I get ready. She's getting ready to celebrate a year in about a month. I've had the opportunity, and I'm not saying to touch people's lives, but I'm talking about the people that have touched my life. And there are a lot of people right here in this room that allow me to be a blessing in their lives as well as they are a blessing in mine. And I believe that that's why I was saved. It wasn't that I was so good. It wasn't that I did so much. It was that God saved me so I could tell you that there is hope. I can't say what year my spirit got awakened. I just know that one day birds didn't get on my nerves chirping outside of my window. One day I wasn't walking down the street with my head down mad enough to kick a can. I don't know what day it happened. I just know that this program has given me the happiness that I never knew existed. When I got here, I didn't know what would make me happy. I didn't know what I should do, how I should do it. I was willing to let you all take me by the hand and make me try some things. And I'm still willing today to let you take me by the hand and try some things. I don't know nothing about hand dancing, and I've tried some hand dancing. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that I really never thought that I would do. I'm willing to take the chance on seeing how I feel with it. And it ain't bad. I've had the opportunity since being here or having a passport and seeing what Rome was all about and seeing the smile on my daughter's face when she said, Ma, I don't want to see how ancient people live. She loved the Colosseums. And I loved it. Those are the things that this program has given to me. And ladies, you all can't tell me that having children and having careers and having to do all of the things as a woman that we have to do can stop you from doing what this program requires. And they say that you can't keep it if you can't give it back. In 1985, I packed big trash bags in a program. I done had enough of this. I don't have to take this. I'm out of here. And on my way down the steps, the counselor say, "You must have missed something." And I say, "What?" He say, "You can't keep it if you can't give it back." I stopped in my tracks. Even though at that point I did not believe that I was the addict that you were, I was too scared to step on any further. I want a different kind of life. I strive every day to be the best human being that I can. I don't try to hurt your feelings because I'm messed up behind how you feel. And for those days that I don't get on the phone and let people know that I'm just calling you, believe this, it's not that I don't care about you. Somehow, over the years, the jealous heart is left. Sister was asking me just a minute ago about, she said that she thought that I would give her the courage to share. And I can sit there and hold a stranger's hand today. I came to a convention in 1985. We had the World's Convention at the Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C., and I left that convention with my insides so tore up because when I got here, you people were my problem. The hugging folks, all of the people coming up to you, hug squad and all of that terrified me to the point where it took me 5 more years to do this again. And y'all can believe that every year that I came up here from that point on, I said, "I'm not doing this shit no more." I'm not doing it. Newcomers wear you out. They make you work on some shit. If you think you got some tolerance and some patience, pick somebody up who ain't got no more than a few days clean and bring them to one of these conventions, and then the drama starts. And every year since 1990, I've said, "I'm not doing it no more. You can't make me do it no more." And every year, I drag right back up here doing the same thing over and over again. Because there's a lot of hope with all of this. And at this point in time, and I know that this is where God was moving me to, because this year my area somehow decided that they wanted to do next year's convention. And now it was some people already in place that we were going to support to do this convention. Yeah, so-and-so is going to be the host chair. And I don't work on convention committees. Richard Dean make me work on registration every year. You know, I want a buck. They make me work down there at public information. I want a buck because I ain't come up here to be doing no service work. And what happened was I went to that host meeting and I got nominated as the host chair. And somehow God said, "Yeah, you can do this. That your spirit is at a point where this is something that you can do." And I agreed to do that. And what that meant was God knew it was time for me to move to another level with working with people. And y'all, the shit has started. Everybody in Narcotics Anonymous know everything. But I am just so blessed that I don't know it all today, and I can take that part of what people do know and be able to work with it. Now, I'm not saying that I haven't gotten upset and had to reevaluate commitment already, because it's like, I don't have to take this. My life is peaceful. I don't have to be taking people going under and starting shit about stuff that don't matter. But God knew that I was ready for that. God knew that my spirit could be able to hold 12 crazy people together. And my emails now is like, you know, can we just get along? Can we think about some of the stuff that come out of our mouths before we let that venom come out? You know what I'm saying? It's no way that you can't know that if I say to you, I like the way that you do this, and you send me what you've done so I can send it to somebody else that I told you for you to go tell them I don't like how you do it. You got to know that. But what this program has done for me with that is to keep hugging, keep talking, and keep encouraging. I want to be pissed. I want to cuss out. This program has given me the courage to say what I feel and do something different. I never thought that I'd be able to do that. I never thought that I could tell you how I feel and don't have to be mad with you for the next year. Don't have to not speak to you, but to just be able to move on and we go hand in hand doing this thing together. Was not this what this program was all about? It said that if I practice these principles in all my affairs, that my life is going to change. I am so proud of the person that this program has made me. I don't need you to tell me how much I've grown. And it's some people that have been on this journey with me. I fought and struggled to expose myself and to let you see me just as I am. I needed to claim my life like that. And the reason being that I could be an effective instrument of God. You need to know that whatever it is that you're going through, that you can make it. For those people that don't think that you can parent your children, try it. For those people who don't think that you can be in relationships with your man or with your woman or with your children, try it. It didn't say that you had to get it perfect. And if you cuss somebody out or you fuck them up today, you can apologize and don't beat yourself up for falling short. That's what this program told me it was all about. That I don't have to wallow in the laying down. That I can always get up. Try it one more time. I was at the mall today and I ran into a sister that came here about 15 years ago. And she told me she had 13 days clean. And the message from that is that this program is out to kill. I mean, not the program, but the disease is out to kill. And it doesn't matter how much time I have, because arrogance come back, y'all. Self-righteousness come back. When I had about 10 years clean, I was probably the most self-righteous person that you could find in this fellowship. I got my 5 minutes there. It comes back. But they tell me at this point in time is when I really need to make a commitment to keep going on with this. Just keep coming back. If you fall down, get up. This program working. I'm going to keep coming back.
Oh, can we give Sandra Hill a round of applause, please? At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Lenora P.
All right, Lenora!
Hi, group, I'm Lenora, and I'm a recovering addict. Talking about fear right now, and we're in a 12-step meeting. This is actually my first time in my 10 years and so months of being here, and this thing called recovery is sharing at a workshop. And earlier, they were talking about, well, I send my tape in. And over the years of being here, they say, well, Lenora, why don't you send your tape in? And I said, no. For what? And it's about giving it back. And as Sandra was saying, being in service. I am in service. But I got a phone call about a month ago. And she asked, would I be willing to do one of the workshops? And immediately I wanted to say, no. I wanted to say, hell no. But I caught myself, and with the question being asked, I said, sure. And before even asking what the topic was, she said, well, it's on the 12th step. I said, well, fine. And the last couple of weeks I was thinking about, I know what the step is. I have applied other steps or the other 11 steps in my life, and I do it on a daily basis. And with doing that, I had conquered a lot of acceptance in my life and being able to keep the strength and the courage to go on to the next day from the things that I've gone through being here in recovery. So I know I have something to give back. But a lot of times I want to be selfish, and this is a gift, and it was freely given to me. In order to keep it, I know I have to give it back. And I had got out, not out of touch of going to meetings, but had slowed down and going to meetings every day. And it even took here recently for a person to come into my life that got me back in touch and going to meetings every day. And I've been asked for the last several days to do meetings all next week. And I said, that's why I stopped going. You know, I got complacent. It's not like I know I'm well, but at the same time, I have a hell of a network. And I talk to these women practically every day. And they are real close to me. As a matter of fact, they're sitting here tonight. And I appreciate you girls being here. But a spiritual awakening. Number one, I must say, I'm a mother of three. That was a real awakening for me. And to this day, I still can't believe that I am a mom. You know, that parenting thing. And Sandra also talked about that son with a disability that I have. And it's a challenge. And you're talking about tolerance and patience. My first couple of years here in recovery, I wanted to give my son away to a family that I felt can give him the love that he needs. You know, not that I didn't feel that I was capable of doing it, but I didn't want to be bothered because it was a big responsibility. My son will be 14 in July. Now, remind you, I used my whole 9 months with my son, and I used my whole 9 months with my daughter. He was born 88, she was born 89. My baby that was born 1992 is my sober baby. I came in here May of 1991. I decided to go around those people, places, and things, and that smoke starts smelling good to me. So what I do but pick it up. And I, too, had to go to D.C. Superior Court. And with doing that, my daughter be 13 this year. My daughter was 15 months at the time, and of course I had to go down there and get the urine. So when I came into the program, what I said that I was doing it for my daughter. After going in front of that judge for a whole year because they wanted a track record of my cocaine use, I played with the thing. But what has happened after my year of doing it, and that was an awakening for me also, because when I had to go, keep going into this courthouse and watching my daughter, and she's saying, well, I want to go with mommy coming out, I wasn't able to do so, and she wasn't either. And that was very humiliating for me. But what the lawyer told me, Lenore, don't let the judge see you cry. And I did what I had to do. I gave up that year of urine, but after getting, I began to see something different. After using for 23 years, I just thought I would be that addict that would be sitting on the porch at 50 years old, which is 4.5 years from now. You know, we stay in today, but the same, the reality is I will be 54.5 years from now. And it was just a blessing that I stopped when I chose to. I just didn't know anything about recovery because the family I grew up in, they drink, and they still drink to this day. I had the household that you all came to my house and party. So that's all I knew. So I made this choice of stopping when I did because I wanted to be this mom or have this household of my children being around, not using, as I grew up in a household that they drank in a party. That was a party house. So that was an awakening for me, making that choice of going into treatment and doing what I had to do. And the second time around, as I said, my clean date is October the 4th, 1991. That's the bottom line. After doing the court thing, the success story, my daughter became full custody once again. My son, I had to take him out the crack house that I smoked in, which was his grandmother's house. He ate cocaine at 17 months. And with that, he shut down and haven't spoken a word since. I have to seek or still seek help outside of these rooms because a lot of times him getting older, his different behaviors and character, I don't know what to do. And I continue to ask questions, and I will continue to ask questions. So I have gotten a lot better with doing that. And so, 12-step, go back to the first step. First step, realizing I was powerless. I knew I would admit that I was that classy alcoholic as I thought, but you better not call me no crackhead or no dope fiend. I was a dressed-up garbage can. And my life had become unmanageable. And what has happened, and realizing that, is I was that young lady that always had material things, the good job, the addict that worked for the federal government and would continue to take alcohol and drugs to work and continue to get superior awards, etc. But what has happened, I took the opportunity of resigning in 1987 because my spirit was low. I didn't want to lose my seniority, and I knew I had a problem because those hour lunches turned into two-hour lunches to not coming back, to going to work the next morning, making coffee at 7 o'clock in the morning. That was my justification. Also, being in the program, realizing I was powerless over a relationship that I had with my ex-husband. Being in this relationship for 10 years, he made a decision to leave twice, not only me, but three kids. And in doing that, the first time in 1995 was very painful for me, and what I did is ball up in the fetal position. And because I didn't know what to do with pain, because I never dealt with relationship pain. So what I did, I continued to come in here, talk to you women, went to a lot of women group meetings to get to the other side. See, because I don't like to hold on to stuff, because what happens when you hold on to stuff, it festers inside of your stomach. See, I'm a very outgoing, spoken person. See, I don't hold on to nothing. Anything going on, there's something wrong, I'm going to tell you right then and there. And then with the second step, I believing in something other than myself. What I believed in, when I made a decision to seek treatment, to come in here, I know it was God first, but I made the decision to do it because I knew I needed professional help. I knew nobody can tell me, Lenore, just stop using. If you don't pick it up, you can't get high. I didn't know that. Even with resigning, I didn't know that they had treatment facilities. If I had known, maybe I would have. But I got here, I guess, when I got here. And I used my daughter in the beginning as giving me the opportunity to come or get into this program is because that's all I knew in the beginning. But see, what I had to do is look at self when I realized that it wasn't her. And I asked myself, if it wasn't for her, would I be here today? But they said, when you're sick and tired, you're sick and tired. And anyway, in the third step, you're talking about turning your will over. Because, and I do that. You know, hold on to a lot of faith, try to stay at the driver's seat a lot of time. Because in doing that, because I have, and I'm still working on control issues, it's gotten a lot better. And the fourth step, we're talking about a more inventory of ourselves. And what I had to really deal with as far as doing the inventory on me was, once again, that relationship piece with my ex-husband. And because what has happened, he decided to go with or leave from with a person new in recovery that said she was my friend. Came into my household, you know, and she was welcome. I didn't have trust issues. I looked at you as a human being, and you was able to leave and go out the door anytime you get ready. And at the same time, I felt if a person going to do anything, they're going to do it regardless. So I never looked at that piece because I didn't know. As I told you, that was my first long-term relationship, so I really didn't know. And anyway, everybody else in the program knew. Nobody told me, but it's okay. And then the second time, it was my doctor receptionist that he decided to marry Thursday of this week, and my daughters is with him as we speak in New York City at the wedding reception. And see, with all this, we still remain friends to this day because we have that bond. We have daughters. You know, him as a friend, him as a father, he still do his fatherly duties and child support and all that good stuff, which is great. The awakening for me, second time around, this time when he decided to leave again in 1999, as I said, my office was here, the doctor's office was here, come to find out he married my doctor's receptionist. Okay, now, with this, I came to full acceptance as in, if you don't want to be with me, oh well, is you're lost. It's nothing that I did or have done or have not done, but what I have done over the years is work on me and do that more inventory and apply some steps in my life. So in that particular situation, I was able to be okay with me, you know. But what I had to do was sit still and say, oh, well, poor me. Here I'm stuck with all these financial things, et cetera. What am I going to do? So I sat still and I prayed, and a light went off and said, Lenore, you always been independent. You was always able to do whatever you had to do. You know, as far as your responsibilities. Towards the end, before I came in here, about a year, I wasn't responsible. But anyway, so I sat still and I prayed. And I looked at me once again. And I still stand here today. And it's okay. It's okay. You know, life goes on. But what I had to do, I had to continue to keep the strength that I needed as a mom and be strong not only for self but for my children. So I did that, and I'm still doing it today. I also had to sit still. I had the opportunity to sit still and look at what my desires really is, what my sexual preference really is. And it wasn't him all along anyway. And what I got in contact with is I just put what my desires was or is on the back burner. Because he constantly would ask me about that too, what my desires is. Because he knew about my lifestyle before I decided to build this relationship with him. And of course I was in denial, which I realized today, that, oh no, I'm in love with him. You know, but that wasn't so. I loved him as a person. And my desires are mine. My sexual preference is mine. I'm okay with it. I've been around here 10 years and some months. I never talked about my sexuality. I never talked about my past as being a lesbian. I never did. And, you know, because it didn't bother me. I didn't even think about it. You know, some people in the program knew about my past. Some people know about my today. And I share about that. And they said, so, Lenore, we still love you. You're still a human being. You know, as a matter of fact, my sponsor rode down with me and another friend. And I asked her, I said, have I ever shared that with you? She said, well, I don't remember. She said, but it don't matter. You're still my sponsor. You know, because when I thought about it, I thought, and it's my thinking that, oh, no, they're going to talk about me. They're not going to want to be bothered with me because she likes women. And I had to get in touch with being okay with who I am. And if nobody don't like me or love me for who I am, then, oh, well, life goes on because I'm okay with me. And I can stand today and talk about who I am and me being comfortable with who I am. And then they said, well, what about your children? I said, well, my children love me. You know, and I know that today. A spirit awakening. And all this was an awakening for me. You're talking about giving it back. Helping another addict, I do that. Practices and principles in all our affairs. I am not perfect. I will always remain green. And what has happened, talk about what happened before I came to the convention, talking about practices and principles and carrying the message. Not to a suffering addict, but just carrying the message as a human being. Life, general life, you know, because we have relationships, all types of relationships. Went to a restaurant before we came here, and what has happened, I ordered a particular seafood dinner, stuffed shrimp. And what happened, it didn't look like stuffed shrimp. It came to find out it was imperial shrimp. And so I called the waitress back after I tasted, and I said, this is not what I ordered. So anyway, I called her back, and she said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I get the manager. Well, you get the manager. So the manager came in, And she said, well, what is the problem? And I explained to her what I just told you all. And I said, well, I'm not paying for this. She said, well, you ate it. I said, no, I tasted. I had to taste what I ordered to realize this is not what I ordered. She said, well, we can't, you still have to pay for it because you ordered. I said, I tell you what, I'm not paying for this. I don't care what language you speak in, I'm not paying for it. It's no problem paying for it. I can pay for all our food. I don't have any. I ate it in the salad. I said, we're fine. See, I stand for something for today. Say, stand for something, fall for anything. That's what I'm saying. I'm not coming up here next year to the convention and tell y'all I went to this restaurant up the street. And this woman charged me $24 for something that I didn't even get that I ordered. And I refuse that. And that's what anything that goes on in my life, I talk about it then. And I let you know. But see, I try to be assertive in how I talk to people today. See, I don't have to be nasty. I don't have to cuss you out. I come with clarity, and I come very firm. And see, but a lot of times in doing that, of course, you're going to get some feedback no matter how firm it is or what you say. But what I did, I stopped before doing this and thought that to think about exactly what I was going to say so I wouldn't be so nasty about it, the bottom line. But, you know, I don't take it as a joke. I don't think it's funny. But at the same time, just try to stay firm and straight to the point. Like I said, with clarity. But, you know, and things like that. So, I don't know. The program is good. I love this program. Talk about service. Thank God. I do volunteer work over at Seven Locks Detention Center. It's part of my service. Sponsor a couple women. I speak at different meetings. I take people to meetings. I take people from meetings. I'm involved with a lot of other things too outside of the meetings, which is great. It keeps me in touch with me because I love to, I still love to dance. I still love to party. And we're talking about spirituality, we're talking about the spiritual awakening. That keeps me sane. I go to meetings and my daughters ask me, well, Mom, why you keep going to meetings? I said, to deal with you all. You know, keeps me sane inside my household, keeps me grounded. Kind of keeps a balance for me because a lot of times I want to I holler a lot at home because of some things in my household that I'm not comfortable with and with some other family members. It's okay some days, but some days it's not. And I got to check my attitude, my behavior in my household sometimes because I can get very ugly. But I also get to the point, and so I try to be careful in that area too, because I have one sister, you know, she still drinks beer in my household. Some days I'm okay with it, and some days I'm not. And the days that I'm not, I get ugly with it. And then she constantly said, well, we're going to get our own place. Not only her there, but her boyfriend's there. My 18-year-old niece is there, and they stay in my basement. So anyway, the bottom line, I try to stay, or I'm going to continue to keep working on self, to stay spiritually grounded in this program, and to practice and practice and practice principles in all my affairs. Because another gentleman will talk about practicing some principles again and behavior, and depends on where I'm at right now. This man pulled in front of the cleaners, and I'm going to end with this. I went to the cleaners, the man was parked in front of the, like, sideways, and he wasn't parking, and there wasn't any more parking spaces. So I blew the horn, and he held his finger up. I said, okay. So what I did, I pulled up, put my car in park, and jumped out the car. And I went over to him, and I said, F you too. Remind you, I didn't know this man. I didn't know what he was capable of doing. I didn't care. So he said, well, you could have waited a few minutes. You could have waited a few minutes for me to park. And I told him, I said, I shouldn't have to wait a few minutes. That's all you had to do was move out the way. And you didn't have to hold your finger up at me. So anyway, his wife or whatever came out to clean us and said, well, we don't have to get ugly about this. I said, well, you missed a good part because it's already gotten ugly. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And what I'm saying here, sometimes when situations like that occur in my life, I am okay with it. Sometimes when situations happen like that, I'm not comfortable with it. So I will continue to be careful of how I do things, because this is a spiritual program, and I continue to work on me, and this is an imperfect program, and I will remain green and teachable, and with that, I keep coming back.
Thanks for sharing. Can we give Lenore another round of applause, please? 5 minutes. I'd like to thank all those who shared, and could we please ask someone to come up and read just for today?
Good evening, my name is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Just for today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living, and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
That's for today. We have a nice way of closing. Oh, okay. That's cool, though. Oh, hold up. I'll be here. Here I come.